gosh, did you all hear that? Brantley, just let me get the microphone on. Can you say that loud so everybody can hear? Say good morning.
Good morning, and welcome to worship at Holy Ground Regiment Church. We have as a person, oh my.
That's wonderful. That's what I say every That's what I say every Sunday. Good morning and welcome to worship at Holly Grove Lutheran Church. We are grateful for your presence, all of you who are with us in person, and all of you who are joining us online. I can't believe it, but today is already the third Sunday of Advent, which means next Sunday is the fourth Sunday of Advent, but it's also Christmas Eve. So we're going to have our regular 10:30 worship time that morning, but it will be a service of lessons and carols, and I have a lot of interactive elements for children. So it's a very child-friendly service. We hope that you will join us. This Wednesday, for our Wednesday evening worship, we're going to do a carol sing. We're going to sing several Christmas songs. So we hope that, one, you'll join us for supper. It's going to be chicken and dumplings from Southern Lunch, and then we're going to have a Christmas sing after, so we hope that you'll join us for that as well. Tomorrow is the last day to submit Christmas designations, so if you want to give a poinsettia or a gift to the backpack program in honor or in memory of somebody, you're invited to do that. I printed out some extra forms, but they're available in the narthex and at the end of the ramp. Designations are $15 each, but we do need these by tomorrow so that I can go ahead and get the poinsettias, and so we can get that in the bulletin as well. So those poinsettias will be in worship next Sunday for both services. We are having our candlelight service next Sunday, Christmas Eve evening at 9 o'clock, and very excited for after worship this morning, we are having our first, hopefully first of many, to come cookie exchanges. Even if you did not bring cookies, please stay and join us. There is a gracious plenty, so many different varieties, and I know it's going to be delicious. So please plan to stay after worship. Robert is waving some, I think there's some free CDs that someone put in the narthex that you're welcome to look at after worship as well. We have a few birthdays this week. One of them is actually today. Today is Greg Kepley's birthday. We have one birthday today. Tomorrow is Johnny Fritz's birthday. Our office administrator John Scott's birthday is Tuesday, and then Calvin's birthday is also this week, so a lot of birthdays. And then Joyce and Stanley Shields have their wedding anniversary this week, and Andy Beck and Calvin Carrick are celebrating their baptism anniversaries. So let us pray. Watch over your children, O Lord, as their days increase. Bless and guide them wherever they may be. Strengthen them when they stand, and comfort them when they are discouraged or sorrowful. Raise them up if they fall, and in their hearts may your peace, which passes all understanding, abide all the days of their lives. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Amen. And then I have two cards to read. The first is from Ty Heitman. He says, "Dear Holly Grove, thank you for helping me with my tuition so that I can achieve my dream of becoming a physical therapist assistant. Thank you." So Ty is a recipient of the scholarship fund. And this is from Rebecca Fulbright. She writes, "My dearest Pastor Anna and Holly Grove Lutheran Church, thank you all so much for my prayer shawl and all the love and kindness you have shown me during this bump in the road. It means so much to love, to have all of your love and prayers. Love, Rebecca." wanted to read those aloud for you as well. I don't think there, Herbert has an announcement.
I'd like to thank all that contributed to the basket offering the last two Sundays for our paid employees. It was done very well. I'm very thankful for all that was given, and I'd like to know that there's only a small amount that is being given that actually came out of the general budget, so it almost got 100% covered. And first of all, to our great organist, Judy Black. And also to Pastor Hunter. And we will end up mailing John, our administrative assistant, his check later because he's not with us. Thank you, everybody.
I think I can speak on behalf of Judy and John and myself. Thank you so much. It is truly our gift, our honor, and our joy to serve you week in and week out here at Holly Grove. Let us now prepare our hearts for worship as we listen to the prelude. News is that worship is never ever a performance. Worship is our offering to God. Please stand as you are able. Blessed be the Holy Trinity, one God who alone does wonders, who lifts up the lowly, who fills the hungry with good things. Amen. Let us confess our sin, trusting in the tender mercy of our God. God, for whom we wait, in the presence of one another, we confess our sin before you. We fail in believing that your good news is for us. We falter in our call to tend your creation. We find our sense of self in material wealth. We fear those different from ourselves. We forget that we are your children and turn away from your love. Forgive us, Blessed One, and assure us again of your saving grace. Amen. God in Christ Jesus has looked with favor upon you. Through the power of the Holy Spirit, your sins are forgiven. You are children of the Most High, recipients of divine mercy. God strengthens you anew to follow the way of peace. Amen. Grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all. The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Let us pray. Stir up your power, Lord Christ, and come. With your abundant grace and might, free us from the sin that would obstruct your mercy, that willingly we may bear your redeeming love to all the world. For you live and reign with the Father and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. You may be seated as we light the third candle on the Advent wreath. And Brantley is going to help me do this today. Brantley, I'm going to say a few words first, and then we're going to get the light from one of the blue candles and light the purple candle, okay? So the third candle is pink because it symbolizes joy, the anticipatory joy that we have as we are making our way toward God with us, Christ coming into the world. So when we look around, we see shadows of sadness, families who have lost loved ones, people imprisoned, people who are isolated and feel on their own. When we look around, we see shadows of grief, people dreading the holidays because of painful memories or because they don't want to spend Christmas alone. And so in the face of sadness, we light a candle of joy. Okay, I'm going to hold that. We light a candle of joy. In the face of grief and in the face of loss, we light a candle of joy. May the light of this candle overwhelm the world. May the light from this candle say to all that God's joy is coming on earth as it is in heaven. Sisters and brothers, be not afraid. God's joy is at hand. In response to the lighting of the Advent wreath, we're going to sing verse 3 of In a Far Off Place Jesus Comes, and hopefully the choir will sing it once through first, and then we'll follow after them. I'd like to invite the children forward for a children's message. Hey, Sawyer. Hello, Kate. Are you looking for Cameron? Here he comes. Hey, Cameron. Oh, I like your red belt. I think we're all wearing colors. Brantley's got blue for Advent. Sawyer's got red for Christmas. And you guys have red for Christmas. And here comes Maddie. Hello, Maddie. Hello, Maddie. Well, I don't know if you all know this, but several years ago, I was a nanny. And that means that for me, for several years, I got to take care of two children. And one of them, her name was Natalie. And this is a picture of Natalie, in case you wanted to see what Natalie looked like. That's Natalie. And Natalie loved to draw. She drawed pictures, she colored in coloring books, and a lot of times we colored outside on the sidewalk with sidewalk chalk. And when Natalie was learning to read and to write, she would start writing words and she'd say, "How do you spell bring?" And so I'd say, B-R-I-N-G. And then some of the words she knew how to spell love. She knew how to spell happy, because we wrote lots of happy birthday cards. And of course, she knew how to write her name. But one day we were outside playing, and I was coloring a picture on the sidewalk with sidewalk chalk, and she started asking me how to spell some words. So the first word she asked me how to spell was bring, and so I told her. And she knew how to spell the other words except for world. So she said, "How do you spell world?" And I said, W-O-R-L-D. And she said, "Come and look what I drew." And so I have a picture of what she drew. What do you see here? What is that? Uh-oh. Is that a picture of the world? Yeah. Do you guys see that picture of the world? Yeah. And she wrote under that picture of the world, and on the world she wrote love, but under that she wrote, "I bring joy to the world." And I was so proud of her and so happy that she wrote that, because it showed me that she had a lot of self-confidence, right? That she could write, "I bring joy to the world." And she knew herself well, because she certainly did bring joy to the world. But I love that she drew that. And so today is the Sunday during Advent, where we light the pink candle. And I'm wearing my pink shoes and I have my pink stole, because pink symbolizes joy. And as I was thinking about joy, I was actually thinking about each one of you and how you all bring joy to the world too. You certainly bring joy to our church, but you bring joy to the world. And so I wondered if you would repeat after me. Say, I bring joy to the world. Can we say that all together? I bring joy to the world. That's one of the ways that God uses you guys. God uses you all to bring us joy. And I just want to say thank you for bringing us joy. We love you all very much. Will you pray with me? Good morning, God. Thank you for today. Thank you for each other. And thank you for our church. Thank you for the gift of joy. And thank you for all the children in our lives and at church that bring us joy. We love you, God. Amen. Thank you for coming up for Children's Church. You may all go with Susan now for the children's sermon. You can go now with Susan to Children's Church.
The epistle lesson is from 1 Thessalonians 5. Rejoice always, pray without ceasing, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. Do not quench the spirit, do not despise the word of prophets, but test everything, hold fast to what is good, abstain from every form of evil. May the God of peace himself sanctify you entirely, and may your spirit and soul and body be kept sound and blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. The one who calls you is faithful, and he will do this. Word of God, word of life. Thanks be to God.
The Holy Gospel according to Luke, the first chapter. Glory to you, O Lord. In the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent by God to a town in Galilee called Nazareth, to a virgin engaged to a man whose name was Joseph, of the house of David. The virgin's name was Mary. And he came to her and said, "Greetings, favored one. The Lord is with you." But she was much perplexed by his words and pondered what sort of greeting this might be. The angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. And now you will conceive in your womb and bear a son. You will name him Jesus. He will be great and will be called Son of the Most High. And the Lord God will give to him the throne of his ancestor David. He will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there will be no end." Mary said to the angel, "How can this be, since I am a virgin?" The angel said to her, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. Therefore, the child to be born will be holy, and he will be called the Son of God. And now your relative Elizabeth, in her old age, has also conceived a son. And this is the sixth month for her, who was said to be barren. For nothing will be impossible with God." And then Mary said, "Here am I, the servant of the Lord. Let it be with me according to your word." Then the angel departed from her. The Gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. You may be seated. I think most of you know that I like liturgical shirts. I have a t-shirt for every liturgical season. I have other pastor shirts that maybe only other pastors think are funny. But I have been so excited to wear my new t-shirt today. In fact, I hardly ever wear a t-shirt on Sunday. But today I am wearing a special shirt. It says Theotokos, Mother of God. Theotokos is one of my favorite theological things to think about and talk about, and we get to do that today because Mary, the mother of Jesus, the mother of God, is Theotokos. Theotokos means bearer of God, and certainly Mary is the bearer of God. So Thea comes from Theos, which means God, and Tokos is bearer, like bearing a child. And so today, we're going to talk about Mary being the bearer of God and what that might look like in our own lives as well. But first, I wanted to share a little bit of a story with you because I have a very special connection and relationship with Mary. Many, many years ago, I was lamenting to my spiritual director that when I would say to somebody, "I wished I had a mom," right? Most of you know that I wasn't adopted until I was 23. But I say to somebody, "I wish I had a mom for one reason or another." And people, although I think well-intentioned, but not very helpfully, would say to me, "Well, God is your father. Just let God be your father." Well, that was not helpful for many reasons, including the fact that I had been abused by my own biological father. But what I didn't want was a father. I wanted a mother. I wanted a nurturing presence in my life. And so people will say, "Well, okay, then, there are images of God as mother in Scripture. God is your mother." And although I knew this to be true in my mind, it didn't feel true in my heart, because the things that I needed and wanted from a mother, God couldn't give me. because the kind of mother that I wanted had to have a body. The things that I wanted in a mother was a shoulder to cry on, a mother to embrace me on hard days, somebody to twirl my hair when I was feeling sad, someone to cook me my favorite meals. The things that I longed for a mother to do for me required a body. And God, as mother, doesn't have a body. And so my spiritual director so wisely said to me, "I wonder if Jesus would share his mother with you." And I still kind of feel taken aback as I remember her saying that, because it left me speechless. The compassion, the relief that I felt that Jesus might love me so much that he understood that I needed a mom with a body, and maybe he would share his mom with me. And so for many years, Mary has been deeply significant to me in my life and my spiritual journey, as Jesus has shared his mother with me. And long before I ever thought about the kind of pastor that I wanted to be, Mary was teaching me about the kind of disciple that I wanted to be, the kind of follower of Jesus that I wanted to be. You know, so often when we think about Mary, it's sort of designated to maybe the Sunday before Christmas and maybe Christmas Eve at the Nativity, but we isolate her to that one event, when the truth is that she was incredibly faithful throughout her whole life. That's partly why God chose her to bear God's very self. But as she nurtured and cared for Christ while he was in the womb, and as he was born, and as he was a toddler and a teenager and then an adult, as she became one of his disciples, as she wept at the foot of his cross, Mary was an incredibly faithful disciple. You know, one of the things that I love about Mary is that she teaches us, that she shows us by example, what it means to love God with our bodies. Right? We know we're to love God with our heart and with our mind. We're also called to love God with our bodies. And she does just that, because she was the dwelling place of God. God became human in her womb. The Word became flesh in her. Jesus carried her DNA. She nourished him as he was in her womb. She formed his body from hers. And then after she birthed him, she sustained him with her milk as he nursed. She cared for him all of his days as he grew. Jesus and Mary shared a very bodily relationship with one another, because it was her body that she used to love and care for him. That long before he ever gave his body and blood for her and for us, she gave her body and her blood for him. Mary teaches us that loving God also includes loving God with all of our body. And so maybe today, as we are pondering who Mary is and the role that she has, certainly in Jesus' life, but also in the life of the church, maybe we can think more about imitating her and her faithful discipleship. Because Mary shows us what it is to say yes. To say yes even though you don't know what will come. To say yes even when the future is uncertain. Mary teaches us what it is to welcome the presence and the work of the Holy Spirit in our lives, and to be so filled with the Spirit that love comes bursting forth from us. Mary received the will of God into her heart and her body and her life. She participated fully in God's plan for redemption by surrendering control, by welcoming the mysterious workings of God, and by embracing God's will, even if she didn't know how it would turn out. And so I wonder if Gabriel's message to her is also a message for us, for everyone who longs for God. And that is, what if the call to bear Christ in our bodies is to be for each of us? That we are to be so filled with the Holy Spirit that Christ grows within us, and we are the ones that give Christ flesh in the world. 14th century priest Meister Eckhart offers this. He says we're all meant to be mothers of God. What does it matter if it happened to Mary, but it does not happen to me? What good is it that Christ was born in a stable in Bethlehem if he is not also born in me? I think we're all called to be mothers of God. We're all called to bear Christ to the world. We're called to welcome the presence and the work of the Holy Spirit within us so that Christ can grow in us and we can continue to give God flesh in the world. I don't think it's any coincidence that the season of Advent coincides with the last weeks of Mary's pregnancy. As we continue to watch her wholeheartedly participate in bringing God's love into the world. And so may these words from the hymn, O Little Town of Bethlehem, also be our prayer. O Holy Child of Bethlehem, descend to us, we pray. Cast out our sin and enter in. Be born in us today. May we all be mothers of God as we bear Christ within us and to the world. Amen.
Thank you.
Living together in hope and trust, let us confess our faith together. We believe in God, the Father Almighty. With hope and expectation, we offer our prayers for the church, the world, and all who await God's day of resurrection. You promised mercy to Abraham and Sarah and their descendants forever. Bring your church into thoughtful, caring, and collaborative relationships with those of our faith. Strengthen our shared values that we work together in caring for our world. Merciful God, receive our prayers. As fields and crops lie dormant, bless them with the holy rest. Prepare them to thrive, that they provide abundant food in due season. Protect animals who hibernate and provide for all who scavenge for food in the Lenten season. Merciful God, receive our prayer. You raise up the lowly and cast down the arrogant. Teach humility to all positions of authority. Break down systems of oppression, especially systems that prey inequality and exclusion. Do not allow wealth, power, or pride to become idols that obscure your call to justice. Merciful God, receive our prayer. Look for favor upon all who cry out to you. Accompany with tenderness all who are afraid or ill, especially Bill, Paul and Carolina, Bobby and Jana, Carolina, Greg, Bobby, Chip, Rebecca, and those we now name on our lips or silently in our hearts. Rescue all who experience abuse or who live under threat of violence, especially refugees, immigrants, and asylum seekers in search of safe and stable home. Merciful God, receive our prayers. You are pleased to make your home among us. Make our homecomings joyful as we gather with friends, families, and those and chosen families in celebration. Grant safety to all who travel. Sustain the work of Lutheran Immigration and Refuge Service and other missionaries and assist in setting up new homes. Merciful God, receive our prayer. Blessed are you for Mary and all your servants in every generation who lived according to your promise of mercy. Strengthen us by their example until the revelation of your glory is made known. Merciful God, receive our prayer.
Listen to these and all our prayers, O God of hosts, and restore us with your great and everlasting mercy. Amen. The peace of Christ be with you always. I invite you to share Christ's peace with those around you.
Let us pray together. God, of our waiting and watching, we offer the gifts of our hearts and our lives to the service of all your people. Prepare the way for us as we meet you in simple meal. Through Jesus Christ, our path to your peace. Amen.
The Lord be with you.
Also
lift up your hearts.
We lift them to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right to give our thanks and praise.
It is indeed right, our duty and our joy, that we should at all times and in all places give thanks and praise to you, Almighty and merciful God, through our Savior Jesus Christ. You comforted your people with the promise of the Redeemer, through whom you will also make all things new in the day when he comes to judge the world in righteousness. And so with all the choirs of angels, with the church on earth and the hosts of heaven, we praise your name and join their unending hymn. The beginning and the end, the giver of life. Blessed are you for the birth of creation. Blessed are you in the darkness and in the light. Blessed are you for your promise to your people. Blessed are you in the prophet's hopes and dreams. Blessed are you for Mary's openness to your will. Blessed are you for your Son, Jesus, the Word made flesh. In the night in which he was betrayed, our Lord Jesus took bread and gave thanks, broke it and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take and eat. This is my body given for you. Do this for the remembrance of me." Again, after supper, he took the cup, gave thanks, and gave it for all to drink, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood, shed for you and for all people for the forgiveness of sin. Do this for the remembrance of me." Let us proclaim the mystery of faith. Christ has died. Christ is risen. Christ will come again. Holy God, come among us. Bless this meal. May your word take flesh in us. Awaken your people. Fill us with your light. Bring the gift of peace on earth. Amen. Gathered into one by the Holy Spirit, let us pray as Jesus taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Come to Christ's banquet. Feast on God's grace.
Thank you.
Jesus Christ, strengthen you and keep you in his grace. Amen.
Let us pray together. Merciful God, you have come among us at this table by the Spirit's power from us to be bearers of your word, sharing gifts and mercy and grace with all. Through Jesus Christ. Amen.
The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord's face shine upon you with grace and mercy. The Lord look upon you with favor and give you peace. Amen.
Let us say our mission statement together. As united people of God, under this guidance of the Holy Spirit, by worship and Christian education, in responding love and action to a needy world.
Thank you.